Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Greg Patton will be living in today's world, and Patrick Wood will conclude his series looking at the rise of technocracy. Thank you for being here and spending part of your day with us. Southwest Radio Ministries will celebrate 91 years of ministry next month. We're able to be in our ninth decade because of the faithful financial support from you. Your continued financial gifts allow us to bring programs, articles, and books to you that proclaim the truth and encourage your faith. We are blessed to have individuals, families, and businesses across the country supporting Watchmen on the Wall. Friends, we need your help this month. Would you please prayerfully consider giving a gift today? You can give your gift by phone at 1-800-652-1144, or you can give your gift online at swrc.com. Please know that all gifts given today are needed and are greatly appreciated. Yesterday, author Patrick Wood began revealing that the dark horse of the New World Order is not communism, socialism, or fascism. It's technocracy. Here's our host, Dr. Larry Spargimino, and today's guest, Patrick Wood, to continue their inside look at the rise of technocracy.
Our previous program with Patrick Wood is archived. You might want to re-listen. Please go to our website, swrc.com, where you can re-listen, or if you missed our previous program, you can listen for the first time. You won't want to miss any of this cutting-edge material. It's very, very important. Thank you so much, Patrick, for this second interview. We're looking forward to it very much.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Well, I think after our previous program, we need to open with a little bit of a different question. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? Will our freedoms ever be restored? Are there people who are really waking up, who are hungry for instruction and for leadership and willing to count the cost? And what can we do to stop this awful flood of iniquity? Like you just pointed out in between the sessions, there's such a disdain for human life. Are people waking up and seeing what's going on? What can we do?
I wish more people would wake up. Even most Christians are having a trouble getting out of the sleep, you know?
Yes, I would agree.
But yeah, some are really getting it now, but you know, here's the thing we need to remember. It's never wrong to do the right thing. Never. That ought to be a Christian's first thought when he gets up in the morning, you know?
Right.
If you have to do the right thing, it's going to cost you.
Yes.
Most of the time, it's going to cost you something. But the Lord will respond in kind if you do the right thing.
Amen.
You'll get rewarded for it.
Amen.
Not maybe in this world.
Yes.
But, you know, in the end of it, you know, in the end of it, the resistance to evil, evil doing and evil doers in kind should be a moral imperative for all Christians.
Amen.
And this, our hope is not in this world in the end. We know we'd like to see some relief here in this world. It'd be nice, you know, for a lot of people, especially that are suffering from it. But if the world is going to go down at this point, if we're going into the end times, nevertheless, we have to do what is right now.
Yes.
And that is the first, we tell the truth any chance we get. And secondly, you should warn the people who you know, whether they're Christians or not, you should warn them sternly what is going on in the world today, because if they don't see it, it's going to hit them like a Mack truck.
Yes. Yeah, one of these days it's going to come upon everyone, and it's going to be so obvious, but then if it's not obvious to them now, when it becomes obvious to them, it's going to be the noose around the neck. So what would you suggest? I mean, you know, as a pastor, I really think that preaching the whole counsel of God is very important, and I include in that the prophetic word, because the Bible really tells us, you know, we have to look at the signs. We see so many signs, and the signs are indicative now not of good, but of evil. And yet there are so many churches that say, well, we don't get into politics, which is nonsense, because just about all of the political issues are moral issues, and to say we can't get into moral issues is ridiculous. So tell us, like a local church pastor, or just, quote, an ordinary Christian, going to church, being faithful, and so forth, what are some of the things we need to be doing?
Well, certainly Christians should be aware, not just aware, but a student of Bible prophecy. This time in history right now cannot be unlocked for Christians until they understand the prophetic word in Scripture.
Amen.
That's just essential. And also, they need to remember where it all started in the first place, back in the book of Genesis. Here we have the end and the beginning at one place. We should look at them together like two slices of bread in a sandwich. If you don't have both slices of bread, and you're not going to have a sandwich in the middle. You know, I'm sorry.
Right.
But you have to reframe what's going on here with all of the attacks on creation, things like, you know, the spraying in the skies of stuff and the destruction of ecosystems and stuff like that. And you have to look at the end of it where you see all of this stuff is moving into not just tribulation, but the building of the system right now,
yes,
that the Antichrist is going to assume at some point as his system of control over the whole planet. We see this, we see the building blocks being moved around, the system of capture, the system of deception, et cetera, the propaganda, et cetera, of artificial intelligence as well. We see these things as a system, altogether a big system, that is going to allow the Antichrist to have complete control over the world. We need to look at this through the eyes of the Scripture to understand it. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to go through it. It doesn't mean you're going to, you know, be judged and experience God's wrath. I do not believe that, but nevertheless, we need to warn people today about what is coming and what's upon us now, because now is the time to prepare.
Yes.
There's no other time. This is the time right now for people to wise up, wake up, and get active, a community, and with their Christian friends as well.
I think whoever wins the presidential election in November, whichever side, we're going to see a massive uprising and pushback. I don't see, for example, if Trump wins, I think there's going to be a big pushback. I think if the Democrats win, there's going to be a big pushback. And maybe the word civil war sound melodramatic, but I don't see where we can go beyond November and not face some massive disruptions in our country.
Yeah.
I think we need to be ready, maybe even food and water, and I'm not talking about running away and building a bunker, but at least being prepared for what is going to be a terrible time, and I think it's just a few months away.
Exactly. I agree with you on that. It breaks my heart to think that another civil war would come upon America.
Right.
Is inconceivable, but it could happen. We should not think that it can't happen. You know, we need to be on guard. In any case, if there is a civil war, we need to be committed as Christians to become the peacekeepers of the world. You know, we're supposed to bring peace, not war, to people. We should be prepared to tell that message to people. Put your arms down and do not kill your neighbors. Just don't want this to happen and start in the first place.
It can easily get out of hand like it often does. But
yes,
digital currency, a cashless electronic system, I think is something that the globalists really need. It reminds me of Rahm Emanuel, I believe, who said, you know, never pass up a good crisis. You can get an opportunity to do what you could not normally do. And of course, there are those who would like to engineer a crisis so that everything will fall into place. So do you think we're going to be seeing some economic crisis, first of all, that will be deliberate, designed, and created by globalists so that we as a people have to go along with surrendering our cash, our assets to a global government?
Absolutely. You know, this is the agenda in the end. You remember back to the 2015, when the climate accord in Paris took place? That was headed up by a lady by the name of Cristiana Figueres from Costa Rica. She was the climate czar of the United Nations at the time. She let this slip in a press conference in Europe. I want to just read this to you and just you think it through. She said, "This is the first time in the history of mankind that we are setting ourselves the task of intentionally, within a defined period of time, to change the economic development model that has been reigning for at least 150 years since the Industrial Revolution." See, she said that. I watched her lips move. They've had it out for capitalism and free market economics ever since that, before actually, but she talks about a defined period of time to change the model. Well, what does that mean? Well, now is that time right now. We see this happening everywhere in the world where capitalism is coming under attack and free market economics, like the advent of central bank digital currencies. This is revolutionary in one sense, you know, but you have to remember this is the element of control that they will get over us when cash is gone and our currency systems are completely destroyed. This will be the ultimate way to account for what people do, what they buy, what they sell. Every aspect of their life can be controlled through money.
Right.
Yes. This is a big part of the system.
Patrick Wood is our guest. He's such an informative and wonderful person with lots of information for us. He has two books that we would like to send to you. One is Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order. The other is Technocracy Rising, The Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. To get your own copy, just give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. These books will give you background material, insightful analysis of our leaders in America at the present time, and how to restore sanity to our government. Our toll-free number, once again, 1-800-652-1144. I like to read, Patrick, kind of background material, and I have been a Christian school teacher and taught in seminary, Bible college, and so forth. And I'm very much interested in John Dewey, who passed away in 1952. One of the things that really opened my eyes was that he believed that the school should be used as machines of propaganda. He really did, and he actually admitted that. I've got a quote here. He said, "The propaganda employed is not a private or even a class gain, but is for the universal good of universal humanity. In consequence, propaganda is education, and education is propaganda." Now, if that doesn't open someone's eyes, I read that many years ago, but they're willing to stoop to any level to gain their ends and their purposes. And that, I think, is absolutely wicked.
It absolutely is. And Dewey was from that age where technocrats were ruling the ideas, all the crazy ideas that came out of it. He was one of those people. You would call him a technocrat in that day. Remember, the definition I gave earlier, that technocracy is the science of social engineering? That's what that means. He's talking the language of technocracy.
Boy, when you look at some of the woke people, you know, they believe in freedom and all that kind of stuff. They're far more extreme than the hippies of the 60s, but you would think that they would be the first ones to be opposed to this kind of thing. But they're not. They're the ones who are going along with it. Have our minds been poisoned? Have we lost our souls? Have we gotten so far from the Word of God that up is down and down is up? I mean, this is amazing to me. I would think that people who like, quote, freedom would say, no, I want to be free. I want to have long hair. I want to wear jeans, whatever. But no, they go along with this kind of rigid, tyrannical mass control, of all humanity. It's very, very disturbing to me and very confusing.
It is, and it should be. And there's no doubt that the deception of this causes people to think in terms that they would never think of in the first place. For instance, when somebody is deceived, well, I say we might, you know, look at a cult or somebody who is wrongly identified the person of Christ. That's pretty common, actually, with cults. When you look at how they believe the system, when they create it and they put up a false Christ for people to believe in, people get deceived, and all of a sudden they're completely off the rails.
Yes.
As who, you know, about who Christ is really, and they're over here believing this other garbage, and you know, you look at them and you scratch your head. How can somebody figure that out? You know,
right.
It just doesn't make sense. But this is the nature of deception. It always punishes and destroys the people who believe it.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of deception.
Right. It's destructive. Yeah. Yeah. You know, back in 2009, I did a couple of programs with Dr. Paul Williams, who believed, and he was, you know, doing research in the mines of Kandahar and so forth, U-235 and all of that. And he really believed that. In fact, he spoke about suitcase nukes. He spoke about Osama bin Laden and his fatwa to destroy America. This was back in 2009.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that if there were some kind of a major crisis that occurred caused by illegal immigrants, maybe a suitcase nuke going off in El Paso or something happening in Oklahoma City that is clearly connected with our open borders, do you think that our government would wake up, or is it perhaps they would blame it on Christian nationalists and pro-life Christians who are very mean? I mean, I've often thought about that. What would happen if there's a major disaster and a reservoir was poisoned? Would we wake up? Probably not.
Yes. Boy, I wish we could say today that the government will wake up. But at this point, the government is complicit with this.
Yes.
They're not just letting it go. They're actively complicit with what's going on. We can't expect they're going to give us any relief out here or a break. Just the opposite. They will probably end up blaming Christians for whatever they can. Certainly, it's never going to be their fault, right?
So right.
There always has to be a scapegoat. We're probably going to be sitting in that position at some point.
Right.
And you actually know what? You can see a lot of the persecution, mental at least, persecution coming against Christians all across the country.
Right.
Mm. Pressure on pastors, in fact. As churches closed en masse during COVID, that was an attack of epic proportions.
Yes,
on the church.
Absolutely.
Incredible. Yeah.
Well, and I've often wondered, some of the same people that push globalism and open borders, they're also the same people, the intelligentsia in our colleges and universities, who are against Israel and who are supporting Hamas. Even though what Hamas has done and their charter and the way they train their kids to kill Jews, even little kids go around with mock AK-47s and little boxes of explosives that they put under a mock tank. What's the connection between the globalists and Hamas? Is it just simply to destroy America, to destroy everything that resembles biblical Christianity, Judaism, Israel? From the river to the sea, there has to be Palestine and so forth. That was never so. There's so much archaeological evidence that shows that Israel goes way, way back, and the Palestinians have no such archaeological or material remains to support their existence there, and yet people believe it. Why the agreement between the two weird groups?
Yes, you know, this again, I think, is a symptom of deception, where people can believe anything. If they get divorced from the truth, and
yes.
I'll have to say, what's the truth? Well, you find the truth in the Word of God. Amen. And in the person of Jesus Christ. He Amen. Said so, and I think we should take him at his word. When you depart from that, you can believe into anything you want.
That's
you
it.
Can believe the moon is made of green cheese if you want. You can believe that the earth is flat. You know, a lot of people do right now.
Yeah, the whole fact of sexuality, I mean, it's a matter of chromosomes. It has nothing to do with how I feel or how I look or how I want to feel. It's scientific. That's the way it is. Yes. So it's a bad situation. We need to pray. We need to work hard. Paul, thank you so much for your two books and for these wonderful shows. God bless you richly.
Thank you.
The complete two-day conversation with Patrick Wood on the dangers of technocracy is available right now on CD. Simply call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Patrick Wood's book, Technocracy Rising, is today's featured resource. With meticulous detail and abundant original research, Patrick Wood uses his book, Technocracy Rising, to connect the dots of modern globalization in a way that has never been seen before, so that the reader can clearly understand the globalization plan, its perpetrators, and its intended endgame. Order your copy of Technocracy Rising today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order at our website, swrc.com. With over 250 footnotes, an extensive bibliography, and clarity of writing style, Technocracy Rising challenges the reader to new levels of insight and understanding into the clear and present danger of technocracy and how Americans might be able to reject it once again. Technocracy Rising by Patrick Wood, 1-800-652-1144. You're a Christian, but what does that word mean? Dr. Greg Patton has some thoughts for us on this edition of Living in Today's World.
You are too? You're a Christian? Really? The word Christian means so many different things these days. Instead, maybe we should say, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, because that can mean only one thing, right? What does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? The 12 disciples who followed him during his ministry on earth left their homes, left their jobs, sold everything they had, and followed Jesus. Their love for Christ surpassed their attachment to things. To follow Jesus completely, we, like the disciples, must place him above every opportunity, everything. So many Christians are content today to settle for a minimal belief in Jesus. They've trusted him for salvation from their sins and know they're going to heaven. Many times these folks go no further, and as a result, they miss out on the amazing joy of being a disciple. The truth is, we all have specific calls upon our life. God's got a purpose for each one of us. He engineers a specific plan for me as a pastor and a unique path for you in, well, whatever you do, in your personal life, your vocation. We have a responsibility to answer that call by obediently following him, no matter the consequences. Now, he may not call you to the mission field or ask you to sell your possessions, sell your home, go. His plan for you, though, is unique. But I think I can assure you of one thing. He commands all of his followers to share the gospel message with others. The concept of sharing what we've learned about God dates back into the Old Testament history. We can see the practice of Job's conversation with his three friends. And certainly Moses explaining the law of the Lord to the Israelites was his way of discipling them. You know, Paul discipled Christians by traveling on foot from one synagogue to another. What do we do today? Television, computer, it has revolutionized the ministry, the pulpit. In this time frame of unprecedented technological advances, the church building and the classroom extend far beyond physical borders. This program via the internet is heard around the world, which just fascinates me. Our medium has changed dramatically, but our message remains the same, right? The Word of God never changes. Matthew 28:19, go. The majority of Christians live their faith in isolation. They're secret agents of the Lord's army. They have little impact on others. They miss out on the important purpose that God has for their life. They prefer to sit there in the pew, enjoy the messages, go live their life, and return to church the next Sunday. They want just enough gospel to keep them out of trouble. Then if hard times hit, they run to the church and find some counselor that's going to help them out of that trouble. That's not what the Christian life is about. It's a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, which transforms us so much that the overflow of Christ's life within us makes a definite, eternal difference in the lives of others. I don't preach every Sunday merely to my flock's enjoyment. My intention is that at the end of each message, listeners will have something convicting, whether it concerns a particular sin or a commitment requiring attention, that you're going to do something different this week after you hear my message. My desire is that they apply spiritual principle to their own lives, and they will also share these truths so that others will grow stronger in their faith. For the Christian, success is not simply the avoidance of sin. That's good. It's a life so yielded to God that it makes an eternal difference to another person. You are indeed a walking Bible. Throughout history, Christians have taken seriously that charge to make disciples. In the first century, Paul discipled people by traveling from city to city. He preached the word. Scribes preserved the gospel text by executing a rigorous program of copying scripture from one manuscript to another. And as time passed after Jesus' death, the gospel spread in various forms. The Gutenberg press put numerous copies of the Bible into circulation. Translators made scripture available in different languages, and radio technology allowed for the global broadcasting of the good news, something that we here at Hello World certainly enjoy daily. How great it is to send that message out there. We need to be committed to discipling believers all over the world. And there's so many countless ways for a Christian to do this. One-on-one Bible study, home groups, Bible college, seminaries have a long time provided opportunities for spiritual growth. But new, surprisingly effective methods of discipleship are being discovered every day. Are you using them, my friend? Answering the call of Almighty God, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Yep, we need to answer the call of the Great Commission.
Technocracy Rising by Patrick Wood connects the dots of modern globalization in a way that has never been seen before, so that the reader can clearly understand the globalization plan, its perpetrators, and its intended endgame. Order your copy of Technocracy Rising today when you call 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, we begin a brand new series that will help us have a deeper understanding of heaven and the joys that await us there. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station or by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.